Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brad talked about just defensively, guys been taking shortcuts. So do you see that, and how do you guys fix things like that at this point of the season, do you feel like?
I don't know, it's up to Brett.
Marcus said that you guys aren't playing together. Is that a fair diagnosis?
I mean, it's Marcus's opinion.
Is it yours?
Thank you, Curry.
Kyrie Irving last night. Shutting it down with the media.
Give a shout out to my colleague Adam Himmelbeck. That is his voice, I believe.
Yeah, well, he didn't get anything out of Kyrie last night because the only guy who did was Jason Terry. Jason Terry was the only guy who got an answer. Everybody else combined got 10 seconds of nothing.
It's like the nothingness. It's like the Red Sox. Like nobody locally breaks anything. It's always the national people. Yeah. Why do you guys even send the local people down here? Yeah. Well, just stop sending them everywhere.
Got to try. At least he's pushing him there.
Let's if we could play that strung together version of Kyrie with the local guys last night. Combined answers were about 8 seconds of material.
About remaining tough. I don't know. It's up to Brett. I mean, as Marcus is in pain.
That's it. That's what the local guys got. 4 questions and no answers. But Jason Terry walked in and got 2 answers. I think it's because it's a former player.
Sure.
Jim thinks that it's because it's a national guy versus a local guy, and he wants to treat guys nice.
I'm say former player. It's both. I mean,
yeah, it could be both, right? Yeah, it's a little bit of both.
Sure.
If it were, as Jim brought up, what if it were David Aldridge or it was, Shams or Woj or one of those guys?
Oh,
he's going to answer their questions.
Yeah.
He is.
And but those guys would operate behind the scenes. They would do a one-on-one or, they would do it in front of everyone else because then everybody else gets your answer.
Right. But still.
If you have that kind of access, you generally don't do it in front of the group.
617-779-0985. Last night, Sean Grady called it the worst loss of the season.
Ooh.
In his final call. Is that the worst loss of the Celtics season? I don't really think it is.
I mean, you're playing a good team on the road. I mean, they've had those dogs, losing 32-point leads at home and playing bad teams and Bulls, Lakers, I don't know. But, I mean, it's a highly anticipated game against a team they're going to have to go through in the playoffs that they've had trouble with.
Right.
And they had all their guys.
To me, I go back to games that are at home where you get blown out or you have the other team have a big comeback on your court. Those, to me, are worse than going on the road against good teams and losing badly. It stinks. I mean, today was a bad, bad loss. But I don't know that it's the worst.
Well, it's a bad situation that we're having, trouble. It's like a box of chocolates here. You got this smorgasbord in front of you to pick from. That's not a good sign.
Right.
When you're saying what's the worst loss.
So we've got some of your calls waiting. Let's get to those, including Joe, who's in Revere. Hey, Joe.
No.
Joe, you there?
Joe.
He is not.
Hey,
we'll go
guys.
To Chris in Connecticut. Hey, Chris. Chris. Chris going once. Okay, bye. Teddy, that is, in Chicopee. Hi, Teddy.
Hi, good morning. Hey, listen, you guys give a hard time to Irving about his play, but at least the guy scores. How about the guy you're paying $31 million, Hayward? What does he do? And nobody talks about the guy. He had 2 points in the first period yesterday. And you're giving Irving a hard time. The guy scores. Why don't you guys talk about that dud you got for $31 million?
What are you doing in Chicopee?
Worthy of a discussion. Gordon Hayward, of course. The problem is he's underperformed all year long. It's sort of an established thing now, which is a sad piece of commentary on his year and where he's at.
Yeah.
You expect nothing from him, right? It's about weighing your expectations from the player. You
cross your fingers,
versus their performance.
Next year with him.
I mean, Gordon Hayward, we have zero expectations for the guy now because we just chalk it up to he's not right. He came back off an injury, and, well, I expect nothing from him. Kyrie Irving, we're still expecting things from. Is that fair? Maybe not.
Well, he's
but it's
played,
just the truth.
He's played well in big games for the most part.
You're ready for him. You want him to hang 35 a night. That's basically what you want from Kyrie.
He's still the primetime guy in big games for them. Wasn't last night. But, I mean, if they're going to – remember when they were talking about playing the Warriors in the finals? I mean, you kind of need him. He's able to step up in those moments.
But this year has been a lost cause for Gordon Hayward. Lost cause.
It's sort of like a get-back year for him.
You know what? Every time you think he's turning a corner, turns out he's
I just wonder if he's ever going to be that guy. That's more concerning to me.
I don't know. I think he's got to be.
Okay.
I've got to make the assumption that by next year – that this will be completely in the rear view.
Okay. Well, that'd be okay.
And I know a lot of people point to Paul George saying, you know,
took him
a long time, took him maybe 2 years to get back to be what he was before his injury. And so I'm clinging to that, Dan. I'm hoping. Because if he doesn't get back, that's a bad, bad problem on the Celtics' hands. With that salary on the books.
No, then he becomes Carl Crawford.
Yes, except it's a lot harder to get out from underneath it in basketball than it is in baseball. There's a real cap in this sport, unlike baseball. Let's go to Mark, who's in Rockport. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good to talk to you. Hey, Dan, let me ask you a question. When's the last time a 6'2" guard can bring a championship to anybody? He's not Jordan. He's not Kobe. He doesn't have the size. People never talk about – I think Kyrie's unbelievable. He can handle the ball.
Well, he did it in Cleveland.
Well, Isaiah Thomas did it.
With Cleveland, sure, but he had LeBron. You need size.
Yeah, but he was great in those finals. He was great. Listen, it wasn't just all LeBron. He carried him, too.
Dan, I'm in my 50s, guys. Mm-hmm. Listen, the last guy that did it, I would argue, would be Isaiah Thomas from Detroit in the 80s when they won back-to-back.
Well,
that was unbelievable.
Steph Curry and Kyrie are the same height. They're both listed at 6'3".
Yeah, but really, he's probably about 6'2". The bottom line, he's not big enough.
Yeah, so, I disagree.
Because
the way he can finish, again, he was a point guard on a championship team in Cleveland. The way he finishes is unlike anybody in ball. The handle he has, I don't think of him as Isaiah Thomas, who goes down in the big trees and it all goes away in the playoffs. I mean the new Isaiah Thomas.
Forget the new Isaiah. I'm talking about the old Isaiah.
I understand that, but I don't think this guy is limited because of his size to taking a team to a championship. And Beadle just gave us Curry the same height, and what this guy can do as a below-the-rim finisher is as good as anybody I've ever seen, and his handle is as good as anybody I've ever seen. He is 6'3". It is not that he is too short to lead a team to a championship.
Chauncey Billups.
Well, disagree.
Well, I do respectfully. I do disagree, okay. disagree with that. But the other thing is, too, look at the attitude.
The
team is so fractured. All they're yelling at each other on the bench.
Well, that's legit.
Unbelievable. So, wait, will you couple that with my argument? Mm-hmm. And forget it. It's an act of futility. And you guys are talking about Hayward. Hayward's done. He's done. Is he ever going to recover?
Crawford.
Come on, please. So anyway, I made my point. Dan, tremendous stuff, guys. Love talking to you.
All right,
man.
Appreciate it,
man.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign on to the...
Hayward's done.
Doug Flutie.
Kyrie's got no shot.
He's too short.
The team is fractured. Give up anyway. Rather positive take from Mark
today. There. He's my guy. My kind of guy.
Last time someone that size won a championship. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Steph Curry. Chauncey Billups.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. I did think with...
All right, regardless of your facts, couple my argument with the fact that they're...
I made my point.
That's a good call there.
The Isaiah Thomas who played here, you were not going to win a championship with that player.
No.
That's where he's right. That guy...
And, Dan, as this team stands right now, you're not winning a championship with Kyrie Irving. This current roster is, in my opinion, not winning a championship.
But this current roster, we had them in the finals, de facto. This current roster got to the finals of the conference last year with a 3-2 lead.
And you know what? We're all guilty of thinking they're better than what they actually are as a group.
Oh, boy.
And we didn't factor that part in.
Did that ever happen here?
We didn't factor in the group. We didn't factor in how they all fit together. We didn't factor that in. We overrated them. Well, we overrated.
They've overrated themselves, which is the most dangerous thing here. We overrated them too.
We underrated the value of chemistry and how they play together. It's like, roll the balls out there. They'll figure it out. Put Kyrie and Gordon Hayward in with that same group that made it to game 7 against LeBron. Right. Of course they're going to win the Eastern Conference Finals. Who knows what happens when they go up against Golden State, but yeah, book your tickets now.
We were not anticipating that they were going to be visited by the NBA problems that visit all other places with great players. This has been the little engine that could, you know, team above self, you know, overachieving, all that stuff. And this year, all that NBA stuff, you know, the Real Housewives stuff they talk about, and having the diva superstars and the young guys who don't know their place, and this mix of old guys and young guys, it has all come home to roost this year.
Dan Zaitz coming up at 12:36, and Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, will join us at 12:50.
Now, a look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
There's no shortage of quality on the basketball schedule tonight. The Warriors continue their trip east as 9-point favorites at Miami. The Celtics are 2.5-point favorites hosting Portland. And Utah is a 9-point home favorite against the Clippers. Colleges, number 2 Virginia is laying 20 hosting Georgia Tech. 7th-ranked Tennessee is a 4.5-point road favorite against Ole Miss. Number 8 Houston, 16.5 at East Carolina. And 10th-ranked Marquette is a 5-point underdog visiting unranked Villanova. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Not the way you want to end the half. Peyton's wondering, what did I do?
JT!
Landed missing the free throw. That's the look of, what did I do?
Six 617-779-0985.
You actually bought a new shirt.
Look at that. New one, Dan.
I think this is new, yes.
Yeah, you know, yes. Your normal flannel gear.
No, it makes my eyes pop.
Mm. That's a Florida thing. It does. It gives you better color.
Thank you.
I'd wear less of the flannel stuff with the t-shirts underneath.
I need that to stay
it's
warm.
A bad
I say we're not a warrior today. You can wear an actual shirt.
Thank God.
Wait for tomorrow.
Oh, have fun, guys.
By the way, we're getting snow tonight, I saw.
Get out.
5 inches.
Who cares?
Matt Stevens, he'll be with us coming up at 12:50. We are loaded on Celtics here. Burning up the phone lines today. Celtics fans not happy with their team. Why don't we go back to these calls? Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe is with us, and Pete is in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
My take on this is this whole downward spiral, really, we didn't know it, but it started with Gordon Hayward's injury because, let's be honest, we had a great year last year. All these kids found themselves. They got really good egos. If Gordon Hayward had been there from day one, this probably wouldn't happen. It's just bad luck. But coming into this year, the pressure on Brad Stevens with Gordon Hayward being his guy from college, bringing him in, you know those guys. Everything is exposed with Brad when it comes to the team. They're all watching how he was with Gordon. I just think it's a no-win situation, honestly. But I do think Gordon Hayward is the biggest problem with the rotation, how guys feel. I don't know what you guys think. I mean, we can't get rid of him. We just have to hope it gets better, which I do. But it's not going to help Kyrie staying, that's for sure.
Yeah, because it's an unknown. You're right, Pete. Who knows? Gordon Hayward might be done. He might turn back into Gordon Hayward.
Well, it's kind of weird. It's like when one of the young kids are out, that's when he steps up. Or, you know, it's just, it's in or out. You think, and you brought it up earlier, you'd think he turns the corner and there's a night where he pops 28 or 30 and you're thinking, okay, here we go. And then typing away there, Dan. Tip, tip. What are you typing?
My take on Gordon is unchanged.
Smooth.
It is, and I feel badly about it because, and I'm hoping that Beatles right when he says that it'll be back next
okay,
year.
Okay, here's what I would say. It's too soon to write him off. It's too soon for that.
Yes,
Dan.
It is.
It really is.
That's not fair.
It's not fair.
You know, with that devastating injury, he's back playing, and people expected, we just expected too much. But it sometimes I worry that it's more than that. And it's not going to
Do you think that it's partially mental and it's not physical?
And that would make sense, right?
I play with guys like that. You tear an ACL or you take a hit, and it's one of those traumatic type hits, and you just can't get back in there. It's like Top Gun, put him back in, get him up and flying again. Sometimes you can't ever fly again. Remember at the end of last year? No.
Were there guys in Top Gun that never flew again?
No. Mav did. You get Mav. Put him back up there. I'll fly with you.
Top Gun 2 is coming up.
Ooh.
I can't wait.
Remember at the end of last year, people were hanging on hope that he was going to make it back for
Oh, sure.
How crazy did that seem?
He was taking shots and chairs and doing all that stuff.
Oh, he's jogging straight forward, but he's not cutting yet.
Right. Yeah. Oh, look at this video of him running. It looks good.
No.
That was going on.
Looked like he was moving pretty slow.
Really was.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me. Looks good. Looks like he could come back. Chris is in the car today. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm
good.
Just going to make my point here, and I just want to hear what you guys think. You know, I never thought I'd say this, but this Celtics team is...
Hello?
Steelers, and let me tell you why.
We didn't repeat that. The Celtics team is like what?
They are the NBA equivalent of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And
okay.
Let me tell you why. Because they are a team that constantly plays down to the competition. They got a locker room full of divas that constantly point fingers at each other, and they don't want to play for each other. You got a coach who can't control these players, and you have your star player that looks like he wants his way out of here. I want to hear what you guys think about that. Thank you.
Okay, I would say the only difference, good comp, the only difference is I felt like at Pittsburgh the coach was contributing to the problems.
Yeah.
I don't feel the coach is contributing to the problem.
No. I think you're in better hands as far as coach.
But here, there are some similarities. Guys that don't want to play for each other.
Oh, I understand what he's
saying. Guys that are complaining. Guys that are
It's a team you always have
out.
Really good expectations for. It's a team that should be there in the mix. And somehow they play their way out of it.
Well, you guys have a field day mocking the Steelers on a weekly basis. So you think that's happening elsewhere around the country toward the Celtics?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think people mock them. I think people know they're talented and think, oh, well, they could get hot. I think they can get hot.
And because they're still a playoff team.
Yeah. It's like the team you don't want to play.
I don't feel like the Celtics are on the verge of becoming something other than a playoff team.
You know, we were talking about Pittsburgh getting in.
Do you think they could miss the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
No. I just meant...
Remember how we were talking about the Steelers at the end of the year? It's like, oh, gee, if you just dodge them, you don't want to play them again because of the talent and how they spread you out and how quick they can score. Celtics could be one of those teams, like, that's a team you don't want to play in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sure everybody still takes them very seriously. No one's looking forward to playing them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
People now feel that they got their number, they can beat them. Think the Sixers are looking forward to playing the Celtics in the playoffs? No, Sixers cannot beat them.
Ralph in Cranston. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, when this season started, here's a team that almost went to the finals, and everyone thought, you know, hey, Kyrie and Hayward coming back, you know, now we can vie for the championship. You know, we found out opening night, too, when they try to stop Brown, Hayward, Kyrie, and Tatum. You know, what you have here is a lot of guys that need the ball, and they're capable guys, and the younger guys are capable. They showed it last year. But the mix is off. And they know, I think Danny knows that he's going to do one of two things. Yeah, Dan, I'd like to hear your opinion on it. Either you've got to let Kyrie walk, sign another free agent, and build with the young guys, or you've got to trade them, and it's probably going to take Brown and Tatum to get Davis. If they can pull that off, I think you're going to see the real Hayward, too, because he's not assertive, and he's a little too respectful. He's got to get his game back. He reminds me a little bit of a Havlicek-type game. And I think that Danny's going to do one of the two, but I really still believe in Hayward. I think we are just not seeing this. This Hayward is the same guy he was. He's a multi-talented player. Once they free it up a little bit, and Dan, I think that's what the problem is. You've just got too many guys. We've seen such great Celtics teams in the past that had so many other guys, role players. This team is not a championship team. Talent, they can beat anyone when they shoot a great percentage. But I'd like to see, what do you think they should do? Should they keep Kyrie, Davis? I think Kyrie, Davis, and Hayward went to a championship. I really do.
I think you're going to get damn close with that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. You make good points.
It's not winning.
And I think that if Danny, if we could get his truth serum right now, he would go with plan A, which would be to keep Kyrie and trade the other guys to make his team.
And I think that's important to remember because I don't think the team is somehow thinking that Gordon Hayward is not going to return to form. I think their belief is he will return to being himself, his pre-Celtic or the 5 minutes he played in Cleveland happened.
You go with Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and improve Gordon Hayward and whoever's left.
Yep.
And do you
any questions?
And do you lose both Tatum and Brown to get Davis?
Yep.
And do you know it's going to be more than 1 year?
Nope.
Ooh. Beatle, you are really rolling the dice on that one.
But you know that it's going to be more years of Kyrie.
I understand.
If it's the bait that gets Kyrie to stay, it's all worth it.
Yeah, you're already there now. Right.
It's all worth it.
You're already there now. Well, extending it.
After you ask Brad Stevens if he thinks Doc Rivers is better suited to coach the team right now, maybe you could throw that scenario by him.
I'm sure he's going to love us. And then again, at 2 o'clock, I'll get called into the office and told to, you know. Why are the Celtics pissed at us? Why? Brandon's in Roxbury. Hi, Brandon.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. Phil, you overstayed your welcome, meaning the starting five. Brad Stevens needs a grow pair. Take Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart out the lineup. What you do is put Kyrie, Tatum, Hayward, Jaylen Brown, let's play with Horford. There's no productivity with these guys, so we do something.
Brandon, you're breaking up, but your point on that is well-received on a day like today after what we saw last night, because there were times last night where you look out on the floor, and it's Kyrie, and he's got Marcus Morris with him, and he's got Marcus Smart with him, and you just say, is there enough on this floor offensively to match and help Kyrie Irving? And at times, it feels like there isn't.
What do we think about Morris? Has it reached the shelf life on him, and what's the deal? Because
how does he hurt?
I mean, he got off to a good start.
He did.
I just think he's inconsistent.
They were talking about him as all-star caliber.
He had a great start to the year.
He was your best player through 2 months.
Yeah, I was watching those games. I'm like, this guy's got to start every game, never come off the floor, and always in there at the end, as you always need Smart in there at the end. We know that.
But I mean, it's when you talk about building a championship team, you don't think, this is Mark. You know what Marcus Morris is.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the ceiling, and how does he hurt you? I don't think he hurts you. So why move on from him? I think his role's pretty damn good here.
But it's a role.
Yeah.
You know, and I just look at him. Which means they're still looking. Is there enough offensively out there right now? Is there enough to create things for Kyrie? Is there? And I don't know. At times it just feels like it's not the case.
Like they get Jay Crowder back?
No, they're not getting Jay Crowder.
I was teasing. Have we overinflated him?
Get out of here. They're not getting Jay Crowder.
They loved him.
Stop it.
People loved him.
Stop.
No, he was a case of a guy who got overrated
by cheering for Gordon Hayward.
Yes, didn't like that.
Chris in Connecticut on hold. Chris, go ahead.
Turns out he was
the
right.
Beatles, Mr. Shaughnessy, good to see you on the TV today.
No, thanks.
You're very good friends with Nick, and you know, condolences with family, and also you guys are a family when you're out there on the road, and we appreciate you guys doing that.
Thanks for saying that.
Now, one of the big things, and Jackie did a great job the other day. Journalists go ahead and ask the question, why? Okay, we just don't allow the athletes continue just to say what they want. Being a journalist, you ask why, and she got, I'm here, out of Kyrie. Okay, so big kudos to Jackie. And when Brad comes on, you're going to talk to him. You're going to ask him a question for me. You're going to say, why do you continue to sit Tatum and Kyrie at the same time? Even though it's a 3 minute span last night, there was a 13-0 run. Pippen, Jordan, there was always one on the court.
And he hung up. He dropped the mic.
Threw it down.
Said last night when Kyrie and Tatum were off the court together.
You writing that down?
13-0 run last night in the game when those two left the court.
Who's Jordan? Who's Pippen?
Here, Pippen.
Kyrie is Jordan.
Here, Pippen.
Tatum is Pippen.
No, the answer is neither of them are Pippen.
Well, I think we know that. And Beatle, have you got that written down? So after the question about
13-0 run.
Okay.
We need to check his facts, make sure that he's right on this.
But was that part of the 25-4 run overall that took place in that same quarter? I mean,
maybe, but a 13-0 run over 3 minutes is,
it's bad.
A big part of what happened there.
But the 25-4 run, so were one or both of them back on after that 13-0 run got it started? My gut tells me it was, and so what? You can't allow either one to take place.
He's just saying that the worst bleeding comes when they're both off the court. They should never be off the court together.
Slow the bleeding.
I know, but you should be able to. They've got enough on this team to where they should be able.
I think the important part about being the journalist is you know, the why, as he said.
Oh, sure.
You could do, Brad, why is your team sucking?
Ooh, don't I?
Yeah.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's Dates. It is February 27th. What do you have for us, Dan?
I think we're all in agreement. Not much happens in February of consequence. Really, when you think about it.
Versus any other month?
February's got Super Bowls in it every year.
True. That's the beginning of the month.
Well, it's still in February.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Why is there less happening historically in
February? I don't know.
What's Valentine's Day?
It's the dead of winter, people. There's not a lot going on.
It is
all right,
a fourth.
So, people that were born on February 27th. Elizabeth Taylor was born on this date.
Wow.
John Steinbeck was born on this date, 1902. What did he write, so? John Steinbeck.
The hell I know.
Grapes of Wrath. Come on, put that Maryland education to work.
Think I read that?
those among the living born on this date, Joanne Woodward, Paul Newman's former wife, 89. Ralph Nader, 85, goes on.
Wow.
He's a laughing boy. Ralph Nader's probably really fun at parties. You know, I mean, this punch.
Kind of like Pete Abraham.
This punch will kill you, you know, so don't drink it. How old do you guys think Raymond Barry is today?
85.
He's 86 years old. So did he coach you?
No.
Raymond Barry. You know, the target of Johnny Unitas and a
coach.
Didn't
he have one leg was shorter than the other?
I don't know. Caught a million passes in the greatest game ever played against the Giants and led the Patriots to the Super Bowl.
I think he had like a limp. Yeah, I think he had one leg was shorter than the other.
Maybe that tricked the defense. I don't know. That was the thing. How old do you guys think James Worthy is today?
Ooh.
Mr. First Step.
65.
I was just 59.
He is 58.
Oh. Wow.
Watch the video of the Celtics, the 84 Celtics. It's just spectacular.
How old is Larry Bird?
Larry's in his 60s now. I'd say 62.
He's 62.
Yeah, sitting there. Chelsea Clinton, 39 years old today.
Wow. I'd say
45. Stuff that happened on February 27th. In 1801, the District of Columbia was placed under the jurisdiction of Congress. You all knew that. The women's right to vote was ratified unanimously in 1922, Supreme Court. 1933, this is our Fuhrer note of the day. Germany's parliament building was gutted by fire. Chancellor Adolf Hitler blamed the communists, used the fire to justify suspending civil liberties. So it kind of went into power with that. It helped. There was a copper shortage in 1943. That's what we're down to. We don't have to deal with that.
Copper pipes.
But they changed pennies. They stopped having copper pennies. They went to steel pennies, and nobody liked them.
Moonstruck when he was checking out the pipes.
And then there's copper.
Copper.
Which is all I use. It costs money because it saves money.
It's a good pitch. Works every time.
It's my favorite.
What did he say?
I love that movie.
Yeah.
The woman, she was reluctant, but the man, he understood.
That's good. Don't you think pennies are going away altogether?
No.
That's supposed to be. Supposed to be for
they
years.
They keep talking about it.
It costs more to make them.
They won't go through with it.
Yeah. I don't understand the whole thing. How can cost more to make one and then what do you got? You got nothing. No. Stuff that happened on February 27th.
Copper?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, copper pennies. Okay, in 1968, Walter Cronkite signed off and he signed off the news that Vietnam conflict was mired in stalemate, which caused Lyndon Johnson to say, "If I've lost Cronkite, I've lost America." That was Cronkite's broadcast.
Isn't that sort of mythical?
No, it is not.
It really happened exactly like that.
I'll call Doris Kearns Goodwin, who was in
okay,
the office.
Okay, no,
she'll know.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
She was there.
I know that some people have said that moment has been over-exaggerated.
Yeah. Okay, understand.
In terms of its importance.
On February 27, 1991, Operation Desert Storm came to a conclusion. President George H.W. Bush declared that it is for liberated Kuwait. I think that was the mission accomplished banner on the...
on the ship.
On the big ship.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate, as it turned out. Two sports things of note. I think Hardy will have one, but he won't have this one. 1959, Bob Cousy will turn 90 this year. He dished out 28 assists in a 173-139 Celtic victory over the Minneapolis Lakers.
Oh.
It remains the highest point total in a non-overtime game in NBA history, and the Cougs dished off 28 dimes in that one. He He'll be 90
Rondo
this year.
Would love that.
Yeah, he'd have been giving up layups and kicking them back right there. And
wide open breakaway layups. Someone get down here and take this shot for me.
Hardy, I'm expecting you know the Yankee history in 1912.
I do.
I'll turn it over to Hardy at this juncture of the dates.
Yeah, my lord, 1912, the Yankees announced they will begin wearing pinstripes on their uniforms.
That's big.
Abandoning the new look at the end of the season. Yeah. What? After Jacob Rupert buys the team, the vertical lines will appear permanently, making their return in a 5-1 loss to Washington during the team's home opener in 1915.
It might be the, you know how I'm a uniform buff.
Yeah.
And I got to, okay, this uniform looks great. This one sucks. That might be the best decision ever made to go in a certain direction regarding a uniform.
Yeah.
But whatever they went away from it immediately. Then
they
chose it. They went away and then they went back to it.
You know what? These lines all up and down, all over the uniform, it looked good. Yeah.
Do you remember in Catch You As You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Me if you can.
What does his dad say? He says, "You know why the Yankees always win?
It's the uniforms.
The other team can't take their eyes off the pinstripes."
That's right. That's good.
Frank Avenue.
That's sharp uniform.
Dan, I got something to ask you about.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm not saying you remember Shirley Temple talkies when they came into the theater.
I do not.
But in 1936, on this day, 1936, Shirley Temple got a $50,000 per film contract.
That's a lot of cake back then.
Yes. She attracted attention with the song and dance number, Baby Take a Bow. She appeared in a movie called Baby Burlesques, and she was the number one box office draw in America. This is a very creepy time in this country.
Baby Burlesque.
I think Neil Diamond wrote a song about her, I think.
Number one box office draw.
Oh, Caroline Kennedy.
Weird. All right. Yeah. You missed another sports one.
Yes.
1960. The first Miracle on Ice. U.S. Olympic hockey team beat the Soviets.
The Cleary brothers.
Yeah, that was in the semis. And then the next day they beat Czechoslovakia. Beetle, you got any before the musical ones?
I was just
going
to say, you had some music birthdays. Josh Groban is 38.
Yep.
Never heard of him.
Kate Mara. Ooh. Lovely Kate Mara, 36 today.
Who's Kate Mara?
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
All right.
What do we got? What else we got?
Okay.
No clue.
Despite disco dominating the musical landscape for many, many years, the Grammys only gave out one Best Disco Recording Award. They did it in 1980. What song won the only Grammy ever given out for Best Disco Recording?
Yeah, the Bee Gees. Got to be the Bee Gees.
Gloria Gaynor.
I Will Survive?
I Will Survive. It's a good one. Oh, God.
This happened today in
1980. Also at the Grammys that year, Doobie Brothers won Song of the Year. What Doobie Brothers song won Song of the Year in 1980?
A Fool Survives.
What a Fool, what a fool Believes?
No,
close.
Whatever.
Yes.
It was a Fool, whatever.
Very good.
What a fool believes.
So can I straighten you out on Kate Mara?
No.
I Googled
her. Do it another time.
So what? What does that last name have to do with football?
Later?
Oh, that's one of the Maras.
Right, and what's her sister's name?
Wellington.
I don't know.
Rooney Mara.
I didn't know that is two dynasties in one actress right there.
Pardon me?
You want to do the last one?
Jim said we don't have time.
Why? Just play it to break. 1990, this day in 1990. Oh, he's mad. Never mind. We won't do it.
Brad Stevens coming up next.
All right. What? Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics.
Jesus, Jim.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, and we welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys.
How's it going, Coach? I know you love coming on with us after tough losses like that. You said your team took shortcuts defensively, and Kyrie was posed the same question after the game, and he said, well, you have to ask Brad about that. Well, we have you on. What did you mean by that, your team takes shortcuts defensively?
Yeah, so first of all, I just don't think we've been guarding at a very good level, with the exception of the Milwaukee game, first game out of break, when I thought both teams were a little rusty shooting the ball. So maybe we looked better than we actually were even in that game. But I think that starts with transition and making sure that you're sprinting back, that you're all getting matched up, not necessarily to your matchup, but to the biggest threat, and being able to then play your system from there. And, you know, we had a lot of plays last night, especially some in the Chicago game where I thought we just got we took the easiest route instead of taking the right route. And, you know, within how we're trying to guard certain actions, whether they be pick and rolls off the ball, whatever the case may be. It's not something that is too unusual, I would say, at this time of the year. But it's become too much of a regular thing for our team, and we need to be a lot better than that. And when we're at our very best, we're an awfully hard team to score on. We just haven't been that, you know, in the recent few weeks.
Brad, you also said last night we have to be more connected as a team, and I know that some players have had comments along those lines as well in recent weeks. Why are you not more connected as a team at this point in the season?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think that that's been an issue all year. And you know, you could see it as early as training, as early as the preseason games. And I think we've had our moments where we've gone on runs, not just runs for games and quarters or whatever the case may be, but even weeks at a time, where we've shown when we really play with the intensity, pace, and togetherness that we need to, we can be a good team. We don't always do that. And, you know, that's a frustrating thing. And if we don't get that fixed, then I would say that we don't have near the shot that we do if we can really start connecting on both ends of the court. And, again, I think it goes back to, even when I talk about taking shortcuts defensively, I think there's just a responsibility in each action that we're defending and each thing we're doing together on offense that we all, you know, are up to that task and we all do our jobs well. And, you know, we're just not consistent enough. And it's disappointing. There's no question about it.
Is there a chemistry issue on this team, whether it be on the court or a clash of personalities in the locker room off the court? Because that's now started to become a topic about this team, and people look at it and see some of these comments and think, hey, these guys just, they're not meant for one another. They don't get along, or there's fractures within the group. Is that the case?
Yeah, as I've said many times, like we're in our locker room, I think we have a bunch of well-intentioned guys. I really do. But there's been no question that ever since the start of the year, making or being able to play well together has been off and on, and it hasn't been as good as it can be or it needs to be. Each team, I think, and with very few exceptions, and maybe the 08 team here was a great exception, but most teams go through a period where they have to become a team. And sometimes that period takes 10 games, 20 games, 30 games, 60 games, and sometimes it never happens. And those are the teams that fall short of where they want to be. And we're not where we need to be, you know, or where we'd like to be consistently enough. Again, we've had 2-week stretches. We've had 3-week stretches. But I don't feel like we've ever really put a good 2-month stretch together, you know. And here we are in late February, and we've got a month and a half left in the season. So the clock is ticking on that, and it's going to be really important if we want to be the best version of ourselves that, you know, we find ways to play better together.
Brad, for you, where things are at this point, do you take this as any level of personal failure for you as to where the team is at this juncture?
No question. No question, Dan. I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, I've always thought as a coach, you're responsible for your team playing to the standards of winning. It doesn't always mean you're going to win. But there are things that you have to do day in, day out to give yourself your best chance of winning, to increase your margin for error, if you will. And you know, I've said this, you know, a couple of times, the things that's really evident to me is that we have not been consistent in that. And so, you know, I first and foremost need to look at myself in the mirror and do so every day, and I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, whether it's rotation tweaks, playing differently, different actions, different things that, may give us a little bit more juice. Whatever the case may be, there's no doubt that a coach should be responsible. And, you know, I certainly feel the responsibility. Ever since I've been here, I've still appreciated the chance to coach in Boston because, you know, a lot like Indiana, the things that matter most here are playing the right way and playing as a team. And, you know, even when you, when you're not quite as good, I think people really appreciate that. And, you know, I feel that. I feel a great deal of responsibility to be a team that does that. And we haven't been consistent enough in those things.
Just one last personal thing. Has this been the most difficult year of your coaching career?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I was asked that the other day. You know, I think that just because I'm 42 now instead of 30 when I was named a head coach, I think you learn that this is part of it, and you've got to be able to just work to figure out what's next. I think I rode each win and loss so hard in those first couple of years of being a head coach and certainly an assistant, and was coaching in my hometown, and, you know, we were, you know, creating a set of expectations at the school that had probably never been there before. So that was all new learning experience. You know, as far as expectations and coming up short of those thus far, I'd say there's a lot of challenges that go with that. And it's certainly been as challenging as anything else I've experienced. But I do think the time, over time, you learn that that's part of it. And so you don't necessarily look at it as ranking the biggest challenge. You just look at it as, boy, we got to find a way to fix this quickly because, you know, we need to play a lot better. And the challenges never stop coming. Like tonight, this team is really, really good at playing against.
Are you of the mindset that with there being another game tonight, it's a good thing being able to maybe put last night behind you quickly?
You know, I don't. So first of all, that's the NBA. And the schedule is, you know, both, you know, both looks forward to because you can put something behind you, but also really unforgiving if you don't. And so ultimately I'm a lot more focused on how are we going to play, you know, and we could, this is a team. This is another example of a team. If we play really connected really well, they're still a really good team. You know, we're going to have to play that way just to have a chance to win. And at the same time, you know, that is the most important thing right now. We have to get back to being more connected. We have to get back to playing the right way. And, you know, we all need to do our parts in that. But like I told Dan, that starts with me.
Yeah. Keep swearing at those refs, too. That was good last night. Get a JT Horn. Yeah.
It's good until your 13-year-old figures out how to use the internet.
Oh, because he doesn't hear that at home, right?
What's that?
He doesn't hear that at home, does he? Yeah.
Scout took his headset off as I was walking out to the court in the second half. We're already down 21. I'm steaming as it is. He goes, "Hey, watch your mouth. Those mics are on right there." And I look down the court, and there's seven mics, like, sitting towards the court. So thanks a lot, Scal. Maybe tell me in the first quarter before I lose my mind.
Well, I will, to give, you know, to be on Scal's side in this, that was the first time that we really heard you last night. Yeah. This was right before
that. Is that right?
Yeah. And it was clear as day, though.
It was awesome. It was great.
It was a good one. It was great.
It's the first time I've ever said that. So it's unfortunate that I got caught there.
Except
every minute of the last few weeks.
I know that you talked before the game last night about Aaron Baines. Do you have any more information about his status going forward and how close or how far away he might be?
He did a really hard workout today. They're going to see how he feels tomorrow. You know, I think there's a good chance that he's back on a minutes restriction here in the very, very near future. You know, if not this weekend, soon thereafter. But his physicality is something that I think does impact our team. But, you know, hey, we have enough bodies out there right now to play well. And that's something that's never been an excuse of this group. We like having Baines back. He's an important part of our team. But we got to play well and do well regardless. And so, we've, you know, hopefully we can play better tonight.
All right, Coach. Wish you the best tonight. Yeah, thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan, thanks for the time as well today. Appreciate you being here. We're actually going to see you again next Monday.
Excellent.
Early in the week. So we'll see you coming up right after the weekend.
Fellas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.